Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Sunday, the 18th of December, and this is our final Sunday of this year, and so this will be more of a Christmas Sunday, hence we've called it the jolly season. So we can be jolly excited about the jolly end of the year and that the jolly new year is on its way. So it's a real jolly season that we're in. And so we're live now on Facebook. And so you want to tell your friends, you want to, you know, give them a nudge, give them a prompt, say, come on, get on here this morning. This is going to be filled with the scriptures, filled with the joy of the Lord. And we just bless what the Lord wants to do this morning in and through this service this morning. Amen. So tell your friends, invite them on now. And so we'll be watching for you later this morning. So if you've got any prayer requests, anything like that you want, just drop them on the comment section on Facebook and let us know where you're coming in from this morning, what nation you're visiting from. But let everybody know that you're really welcome. It's great to have you here this morning. The more, the merrier. Amen. Jolly merrier. So the more we have, the merrier in Jesus' name. So, wow. Come on, let's see where this goes this morning. Amen. God is good all of the time. And so we love what he's been doing this year. This year has been a fun year to be part of and to see what God has done in the lives of so many people this year. It's been exciting. And he's been like stirring it up and ramping it up throughout the year as we've gone through. So there's good testimonies. There's good stories. And my advice is, write them down before they slip off into the background so you remember them in the future, that you can go back over them and remind yourself, hey, this happened to this person back in 2022. 22 is the, like the, we refer to it as the year of the keys of the kingdom. And we're about to move into 23, which is in reference solely around Psalm 23 and many other aspects as well. But Psalm 23 is going to be a significant part in playing out 2023. So it's exciting to know that you're going to be lying down in green pastures and that goodness and faithfulness will be following you all the days of your life, and that you'll get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we all know the old song, deck the halls, you know, deck the halls with ivy, you know, and it's like, there's so much in this season that we are joyful and remembering about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that it's all about behold your King. Mm-hmm. You know, for the first time, you know, that you behold your King. He was beheld by the shepherds, by Mary and Joseph, the Magi. You know, he was beheld in the early days as all those that came to welcome him to the earth. You know, so we get to do that even today, that we get to behold our King, and we behold him, and then we say yes to him and give our lives over to him. He comes to bring change and to revive us. Behold, the new is coming. The Lord is coming, and greater than before, with power and healing in his wings. The more we look at him, the things of life grow strangely dim. You remember that song? Strangely dim as we gaze on his wonderful face. And so that's what it's about. We want to be looking at Jesus this morning. We want to be looking at his face and raising him up and bringing glory to what God instigated by the birth of his Son into this world over 2,000 years ago. And because of that, in him we live and move and have our being, because it's all about the King. He came to be the King. He came to rule, reign, and establish a kingdom here, and to that it would be a never-ending kingdom. He's the bright morning star. He's the lily of the valley, the Bible says. And so we give you the glory, glory, glory this morning, Lord Jesus. And we say thank you for all that you've done, all that you set in motion back then that is still rolling out, still advancing, still growing today. The goodness and faithfulness of a great Father who sent his Son to create a great work to bring reconnection between us and the Father God. Behold, our King has come. It's his day we celebrate today. And so we bless you this morning. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about, then get to know him. It's simple. I mean, he wants to wash away all your old ways, all your past, and make everything new for you, to take the burden that you've been carrying in life and remove it from your back so that you don't have to carry it anymore. This day is the day that you let Jesus take that burden, take that weight off you and remove it from you so you no longer have the weight of it impressing on your life. That all your sin and the things that you've done wrong, he says he'll wipe it completely clean. And all he requires is acknowledgement. All he requires as the king is for you to behold him, for you to say, I give my life to you, Jesus. I want you to be my friend, my brother, and my king. And I give you my life today. And that is it. He requires your ability to look on him, to behold him, and to acknowledge him and the great work that he has done. So we get to leave this world when it's our time, and we get to live out eternity with him. There is no death. There is no sting of death. There's no fear of death, because Jesus came and paid the price, made it all possible that when we say yes to Jesus, that we enter into that realm of eternity, and that we flow from this world into the next. Because of what the Lord Jesus did for us. So celebrating his birth, celebrating his coming today is so important that we take time to actually acknowledge that and to allow him his place, his part in our lives. Hallelujah. You know, the prophetic foretelling that Isaiah did way back in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. So if you've got your Bibles with you this morning, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And in that verse, it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she will name him Emmanuel. So back even in Isaiah, it was prophesied about this event, the birth of Jesus Christ. And then if you move forward into chapter 9 of Isaiah, and starting at verse 6, for a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And verse 7, there will be no end to the increase of his government. Do you hear that? There will be no end to the increase of his government. What he started has always had the intention of growing, and wildly growing and expanding, because he set in motion something that would impact the world forever and impacts our lives today, and would increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Amen. The zeal of the Lord of the armies will accomplish this. So something was set in motion right back there at that prophetic word when it was uttered from the Lord through Isaiah, was set in motion and calling in future events, letting people, for the foreknowledge of God was released to let people know what was about to take place, even though it took several years later that before Jesus appears on the world scene, but yet it was known about, it was in the books, it was written about, and it was foretold. And so people were waiting for this Emmanuel, the Son of God, the actual Savior of the world, the man of peace, the leader of Israel, to come forth onto the scene of the world, which he did. And we praise God for that. So then we take a look. You know, this is so important that we actually get a gist of actually the immensity of what took place right back at this time, because God was on the move. God had not only issued the prophetic word that the proclamation that Jesus would come to the world, but then he stirs it up even more. And right at the before it happens, there's all this stuff, this supernatural stuff that takes place. Now, watch this. We're going to look at some of this right now. And if you go to Luke, the book of Luke in the New Testament, chapter 2, and we're going to start there. Let me just read this out to you. So we'll start at chapter 2 and verse. Well, let's start from actually verse 1. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census would be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David. And you well know that Jesus was to come through the lineage, the descendancy of David. And so in verse 5, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds. Now, this is where it starts to get interesting. There were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. These guys were shepherds protecting their sheep from getting stolen or eaten or devoured by wolves. So they had a night watch going on, and they were watching what was going on with the sheep. And then verse 9, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And they probably went, oh, my days, what's going on? But this angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Wouldn't you be frightened if this angel appeared to you and actually began to actually face you and stand with you? He had a message to declare. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news. Listen to this. I bring you good news of great joy. The jolly season was starting. Great joy was about to come into the world and to enter its pathway into this nation and this world that we know about. So he said that great joy, which will be for all people, not just for Israel, but for all people throughout the world. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, wow. So it wasn't just the one. The one was the initial. Then the host came. You know, so that would have been throngs of them. These shepherds would have been like overwhelmed by the amount of angels and angelic activity that was going on in a spiritual like a portal had opened around them, and the Lord God was sending them a very clear directive message. And then it says, the glory of God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone, so all of a sudden they were there, now they're gone off the scene, but the shepherds are still there thinking, what just happened? You know, and conferring with each other, you know, wondering what had happened, what this message actually meant. And it says, when the angels had gone away from them back into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at these things, which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back to glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them by the angels. So this was the first encounter where actual, you know, there was a whole thing happening, and these angels turns up on the scene of that day, giving a proclamation, making them aware, giving them knowledge that this child, the Emmanuel, the Messiah, has been born. You guys want to get over there. You want to meet this child because it's going to radically change your life. You know, so, and if we go to Matthew chapter 25 here. Matthew 2 and verse 25. This is where, you know, this is after the birth. And so they've gone to the temple, and, you know, in the temple, they're to dedicate the child to the Lord, you know, and register him in Jerusalem. But whilst at the temple, this guy comes on the scene, and his name is Simeon. Now, Simeon was the guy who had been waiting on the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord had visited him and told him that before he left the world, he would get to see the Messiah, the chosen one, the Lord Jesus, the child of promise, the child of peace. And so he was waiting all this time for that. But if you go to verse 25 in chapter 2, sorry, folks, I'm putting my notes down wrong. It's Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. That's why I was struggling to find it there. So let's go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And in there it says, "And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." So the Holy Spirit was already upon this man called Simeon and dwelling with him. So obviously he was very in tune with the Lord. And verse 26, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" So Simeon already was aware. He had obviously known the prophetic words of Isaiah, but he was waiting for that time. But God had promised him he wouldn't depart this life until that had happened. So this man was old in years, but he was still holding on to the promises that God had given him. He didn't let go. He pursued it. You know, but I thought it was important to point out, in this supernatural arena of all that's happening around the swirl of Jesus' birth, Jesus' appearance on the scene of the earth, that in this story, it says here that in verse 27, Simeon, and it said, he came in the Spirit into the temple. There was a supernatural arena. Simeon was part of it because he already had the Holy Spirit, but because of that, it said he came in the Spirit. So it didn't say that he turned up, he opened the door and walked into the temple. No, it said that Simeon arrived in the Spirit. So I'm taking that to mean that he was like translated from where he was right into the temple, so he would have that face-to-face encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's another supernatural event that happened during the outworkings of the birthing of Jesus, the bringer of the joy to the world, the jolly season that was kicking off and starting right back then. So joy to the world, we all sing that. We sang it this morning. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in Nehemiah 8, and verse 10, "Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. So give out to others. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" So we quote that a lot, but it's actually true. It's a scriptural principle, and it is the word of God, and he does not fail us when he quotes something, or when we quote his word back to him. The Lord comes through with something precious, and it's great. Isaiah 51 and verse 11. "So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with" what? "Singing, praise, jolliness," "with everlasting joy," joyous. "So everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away." So this whole arena shifts and changes when the Lord Jesus is part of your life. When you behold your King, everything shifts, everything changes, and you have a link, you have a direct line right through to the presence of God, where there is fullness of joy forevermore, everlasting joy on your head. "And you shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow will go away." Sighing in the night, your darkness in the night, all goes, because you have encountered the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are beholding your King. Isaiah 61, verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and they that shall be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So again, you know, the oil of joy for mourning. The Lord Jesus brought all of this right into the arena of the world when he came and was birthed here as a child, with the sole purpose of living, for the sole purpose of dying. So in the dying and the resurrection, he would create a doorway that will never again be closed, where man can come into a place of re-encountering God, reconnecting with God, because the door has been there, the bridge has been put in place, and all it requires is a yes in your heart, a yes from your mouth, and a walking over of that pathway that was made and prepared for you, because Jesus came with intention. Jesus came with purpose. Jesus was birthed in purpose and destiny to actually be a fulfillment of God's plan for this next season, to usher in the beginning of a kingdom that will never end and will not stop growing. Amen. So when we look at the angelic announcements that took place between Matthew and Luke, the accounts there of the birth and of Jesus, you know, he said he stirred up the hope. He stirred up the hope in Israel, because he stirred up, and the prophetic words from Isaiah were being heard, were being talked about. Everybody was talking about it because of the coming in of Jesus into the world. There was an excitement released that they had been waiting for hundreds of years. Now it shall come forth. Now it springs into being, and the Lord Jesus enters the scene of the world. So when you look at the account in Matthew, where we read, this is the, you know, before even Jesus is born, his predecessor is in the process of growing inside Elizabeth's womb, and Zacharias, the father, who was a priest in the temple, you know, he had this encounter through a dream. You know, through the angel appeared to Gabriel. You know, Gabriel appeared to Zacharias. He had this encounter, was told what was about to happen. And when he was in the presence of the Lord, right in the tabernacle, he hears this. This angel appears, and it's actually Gabriel that appears to him. And so he has this encounter that tells him what's about to happen, that a barren woman who both later in life, and this is a birth that's going to happen. And so Zacharias questions the angel, and then the angel says, you're not going to speak anymore until this has come to be. And so he leaves, comes outside, because he's in there a lot longer than the people expected him to be. And they were thinking, is he dead in there? Is he coming back out? And when he comes out, he's using sign language to communicate to them. So they knew that he had had an encounter with the Lord God through Gabriel. You know, Joseph's dream, it's in the name. Joseph had this encounter, who, you know, ended up marrying Mary. But at that point, he didn't know what was going on, and he had an encounter with the Father through a dream and explained to him what he needed to do. Then in the case of Mary herself, well, Mary had a personal visitation from Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, who came to her and explained what was about to take place, and that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, and she would have a child birthed in her womb. And when he came forth, it would be called and named Jesus. So she had got the instructions. The shepherds that we were just reading about there had the encounter with the angel of the Lord. Then the angels of the Lord came to back it up. And they were told, the word of knowledge came to them, they were told where to go and where to find this child, so they could go and actually see him firsthand. The shepherds were the first on the scene after Jesus was born. You know, then we read about the Magi. You know, these guys came from the east, but they came because they were either astrologers or just they knew the times and the seasons, but they seen in the star in the sky that actually made them think, this is so bright. This has to be the start of the fulfillment of the prophetic words brought by Isaiah. And so they take note of it, and they travel all the way over to actually meet with Jesus via meeting with Herod, who wanted to deceive them into letting them know where the baby Jesus was. But that's a different story. So anyway, they get there and they visit Jesus as well. But then what happens to them? That in a dream. They're told by the Lord to go back to their homeland another way and not return to Herod, as Herod wanted to know their information. So they had a dream. They had an encounter. So, you know, there is such a spiritual connotation that's going on here. There was a stirring of the supernatural in the arena of earth at that time that was going to affect the rest of history. And so when God moves, he moves. And, you know, he moves like never before. All these things tied together, words of knowledge, dreams, and encounters all came together to release and to proclaim the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Luke chapter 1 and verses 59 to 63, I'm talking about Zacharias here, and this is said, they tried to change John's name, who was being birthed at that time, whose name was John the Baptist. They tried to name, because tradition was the fact that the father's name should be used for the child, especially if it's a man child, the first one born to a family, they get to carry the father's name. That's tradition. So they came to him and they were expecting that this is going to be the case. But because of the word, because of the visitation to Elizabeth, Elizabeth says, no, he will be called John. And so it says that they all looked at Zacharias and said, you're the dad here, you know, you're the head, take the authority here. And because he can't talk at the time, Zacharias takes a stone and writes on it and turns it around and said, no, his name will be John. And so they changed the way the normal things happen. They did not allow the normality of life to overwhelm them and to say, well, we need to call this child Zacharias because it's tradition. No, they broke with tradition because the encounter had told them otherwise. The angels and messengers of the Lord had said, no, he is going to be called John, just as Mary was told her child would be called Jesus. You know, so in Luke chapter 1, let's just take a quick look at that. Verse 59 to 63. And it happened that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, no, indeed, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, as if what he wanted to call him. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, his name is John. And they were all astonished. And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise to God. So the angel had closed his mouth because of disbelief in Zacharias. But at that point, when he made the confession and wrote it on the tablet, his name will be John. I'm backing up my wife, Elizabeth. What she said is right, and I'm going with that because it's what happened when the angel came to inform me of who was coming and when he's coming. So John was like the forerunner, the precursor to Jesus arriving. You know, so, and then later on, we see that another supernatural thing happened. The word of knowledge was brought forth to Mary during her encounter with the angel. When he was speaking to her, to almost affirm what he was telling her, he said and slipped into his conversation, oh, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth is now pregnant and she's 6 months with child. And so that was for Mary, I'm sure I was thinking, well, I need to check this out. I don't know. And when you read the account, it says that Elizabeth had withdrawn herself because she'd been so long barren that when she found out she was expecting, she withdrew herself almost from society. And so Mary and Elizabeth had to have this encounter because Mary had been given information by the angel, which now would change her life. And so she would want to travel to see Elizabeth, spend time with her and find out, is this true? Is this real? But it was, you know, so the power within the effects, you know, great excitement when Mary encountered Elizabeth. So it says that when Mary met Elizabeth, that the Spirit of the Lord and John leapt within Elizabeth's womb, because the Spirit that was in and the child that was in Mary was the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the Emmanuel, the Son of God was in her, and that Spirit that was in Mary And when they two came within a distance of each other, something, the dynamic happened, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elizabeth and baptized her and baptized John with the Spirit, even inside the womb before he was born. And so there was a coming together of spirits, a recognition of a divine encounter that took place between Elizabeth and Mary and with the childs that they carried, both of them. And so there's a dynamic that was set in place here. And so so when you're around the person of peace, when you're around that peace giver, the man of peace, who is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he is the King. And so today we're actually raising this up because we're saying, behold your King. And see, he's coming back. So it reminded me as well of the passage in John chapter 13 in the New Testament. And it said there was, you know, the encounter when Jesus is near, something shifts. And when Jesus was near to John, they had this transference and both recognized the power of God upon them, that something leapt and something changed, something shifted. But in John 13, grown up now, Jesus is the man of peace. And it says that he, you know, verse 3, the Father had given all things into his hands. So what is the very thing? This is the encounter of the washing of feet. What is the very thing given to him by the Father? Well, it's in his hands. So he takes off his robes, kneels down, and he starts to wash the disciples' feet. And in verse 7, he said there, Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And in verse 12, he reiterates it by saying, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Because the Father had given all things into Jesus Christ's hands. So as the person of peace, he was imparting to the disciples the by washing of their feet, restoring them and allowing their feet to become the carriers of good news throughout the rest of the known world and beyond. So Jesus was imparting what he carried, given to him by his Father in his hands. He was passing on. He was giving away mantles. He was securing them and lifting them up to walk in the authority that he was given over to them when he would leave the earth. So God had a plan. This was all interwoven right back from the angelic visitations and the encounters and the dreams that were all going on. This is the jolly season. So, because in Isaiah 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. He's not a dead God. He's not a wooden God. He's not an ornament on your mantelpiece. He is a living being, and he built and made and has constructed the whole of the world. The very place where we live was all down to him. Nobody else had a part in it. It was God and God alone that actually brought into being the whole of the universe that we know right now. This is jolly season. This is the joy of the Lord, because all things are through him, and all things we have in him are because of every transaction, every happening, every dream, every visitation of the angelic that took place in this season. We are now walking out the effects of this. We are now today the actual outworking of the increasing of the kingdom of our God. Amen. So the good news is Jesus is coming back again, folks. But he's coming back for a pure and a spotless bride. You know, so we've got to take note that that things are important, and we need to note the fact that the arrival of Jesus on this world changed this world forever, never to be the same again. And we have the privilege today to be within his kingdom right now. We said yes to Jesus, so we are walking out the plans and the purposes of God. He is using us and will use us through instruction of dream, of angelic visitation. Yes, we got to expect that the angels of the Lord will be coming and will be visiting us, will be giving us instructions. Why? because there is a preparation mode like there was when John the Baptist came forth. As a forerunner, he was declaring that Jesus was coming. Who is going to do that today? The ones that carry the Spirit of the living God inside of us. Us. We are to be the forerunners, the declarers of the truth that the Lord Jesus is coming. And there's so much more coming with him because we get to demonstrate it with signs, wonders, and miracles. The greater that's he that is in us than he that's in the world is bursting to get out of us to actually be in the environment of where people live that don't know him. So we get to be the expression of Jesus Christ today in our communities, changing it and stepping us from an old lifestyle into a new style, lifestyle, like we're about to do. An old life of 2022 is about to end, and a new life or a new year of 2023 is about to come on us. So everything's shifting. Everything's changing, but we want to be part of the greater plans of God to bring about the actual scene of his arrival again to the earth. So we want to be involved in the works of the Father, destroying the works of the enemy and increasing the kingdom of God right here, right now. Amen. You know, there was words that I wanted to say to you this morning as we enter into 23 that I feel the Lord is speaking to the church. Because we all know that the Bible speaks about the wealth of the wicked coming into the kingdom of the Lord. And I feel that in 2023, we are stepping into that arena. I'm declaring over you this morning that financial difficulties are about to shift, and things that have been hanging on and clinging and restricting is getting broken off you even this morning as you're hearing this word. You know, so if you turn to your books, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Many of you will know this scripture, but you are to remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth. He is giving you power to make wealth. Where does that power come from? From within. Because who dwells inside of us? The Spirit of the living God. Who will communicate to us? Who will direct us? Who will lead to us? Who will give us dreams about something that we've got to develop and design? It'll come through the Spirit of the living God that's in us. He has blessed us with all. And so out of the all that he has blessed us with, these things will happen. And so he has given you power to make wealth, not power to make greed. Because in every time the Lord blesses, it's with the sole intention that we get to bless back. Him. We give back to the Lord, giving back to the Lord and giving of our substance onto the Lord as he opens the doorway of favor, opens the doorway of provision. So you think in yourself, well, I've earned this money now. I can't really afford to give God 10%. Who do you think gave it to you in the first place? So honor him. Be faithful to him. Do not be deceived by the enemy making you think, well, I need to hold this. I need to hold on tight. Because when you release your finances back to the Lord, he will bring the increase upon that. So there's a blessing hidden within the giving. When the Lord gives to you, give back to him, because you will never outgive your God. So give back to the Lord and allow him then to prosper you and to make wealth for you even more. But the wealth is not just for you. It's for to extend and to promote the kingdom of God. It's not a get-rich-quick system. God wants and searches out the hearts of men to see whether or not you're in a place with him that will say, Lord, even if you give me all this wealth, I will live on a little bit of it because I want to promote your kingdom. I mean, there's men in history that we know of, even businessmen here in the UK, that when the Lord prospered them in their business, they ended up living on 10% of their whole income, and 90% was given back onto the Lord. And you worry about your 10%? You quibble over your 10% that you're not given that? Come on, folks. You're not seeing the greatness of your God. You're not walking in the fullness of his provision. Not only did he send Jesus Christ into the world to be our Savior, to be the man of peace, but he came to open our eyes to a world of the Spirit. through encounters, through dreams, that we get to walk in a supernatural realm, giving God of your finances steps into a openness and an arena before the Lord where he can then pour into you even more because you have learned how to handle him well and treat him with the greatest of respect. He is the King. Behold your King. And so that's Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. But in Isaiah 48 and verse 17, it says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, your one that has brought you out of darkness and that you have said yes to, he is the Holy One of Israel. And it says here, I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to what? To profit. Now that's a P-R-O-F-I-T, profit. That's talking about income. That's talking about wealth, who leads you in the way you should go. When God's given you wisdom and given you instruction to actually make wealth, well, then he is teaching you of his kingdom, and the spirit within you will bring it alive, and you will not know a shortage. You will not know lack because you're operating in something, a divine inspiration, a divine blessing that God's bringing your way that changes your life forever. We're not called, to be the poor ones. We're called to be the light to the world. We're called to be the kingdom investors. We're called to be the people who are ready when the Lord shifts the wealth of the wicked, that we're ready with open hands to receive it. Why? Because we are trained and our hearts are open to say, God, whatever it is, why you're giving this to me, then teach me, Lord. Show me your ways so I get to honor you back by this wealth and sow it back into the kingdom. Amen. There has to come a point where your encounters with God shifts you, changes you, and your view on finance gets unlocked. Because in the UK today, there is an unhealthy financial hold on finances. It is not of the Lord. It is of the demonic, because fear grips you that you think, if I give this, I will be in lack. And the opposite principles of the kingdom of God are not in operation in your life. You give unto the Lord, and he will give back to you overflowing abundance. And these two verses back that up. So when you're not flowing with the Lord in your giving, you're actually stealing from yourself, but you're stealing from the Lord God Almighty. That's biblical truth. And you can take that to the bank. So God is on the move as we step into 2023. And so there's a few things I want to just say here before we close off today, that these things are important, and we need to bear them in mind, that out of this season, out of the story of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is in your life, and when and what he can do through you. That's an important fact. He's in our life, and we need to understand what he can do through us. If we're totally surrendered to him, what doorways get opened? What Isaiah 22:22? You want the doors, the kings, of the keys of the kingdom to be given to you? Well, then honor the Lord, first of all. Give unto him. Allow him to teach you his ways, because man's principles is, well, you need to work hard, and earn money, put it in the bank, and keep it all locked away, and grow it if you can, get some interest, get it growing. But the Lord's way is, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The reversal in the kingdom of God, you need to learn the principles that it doesn't work like how the systems of this world operate, because they're designed by man. When God gives a system and he designs it, wow, stand back and watch what will happen, because it's the Lord that will come and fight your battles. It's the Lord that will overtake you, and he will bring goodness and favor and faithfulness out of you, will actually express his heart even more towards us as his people. So you want to be in the right place with the Lord as we move into 2023. Another important thing is the Word of God, to be in the Word of God, to learn it, to dwell on it, to meditate on it, and to actually make it saturated into our lives. No longer sitting with the dusty book sitting on the shelf. No, get it off the shelf. You wipe that book down. That is a template and a book full of knowledge and wisdom that God provided for us, his people, to learn the instruction. And then out of that place of his word, the Holy Spirit will take that and he lives in us. So he will bring to the forefront truth that will actually lead us in this next season. So the principle is the word of God. It's your food. And that's what Jesus said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but he'll live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So everything that you need in this next season, you will find your source in the word of God. You will find your source in God. None other. Should we lose, you know, should the empires of finance collapse in the next 6 months and we're all scratching around thinking, well, where's our next food coming from? God has a plan because he will not leave us. He will not walk away from us. His plan is to grow and increase. So you take hope out of that, that God knows the plans of the future. God's ways are higher than our ways. And so should the world rock, should it start dropping off and wars happening and that, and we're not to become fearful as the children of God, because our God promised us that he will lead us through, and he knows the end of the book, and we are a victorious, pure, and spotless bride. So stick with God. Let him be the rock of your salvation. Know him. Know him through his word. And dwell with him. Get to know his heart. Get to know his ways for you that will work best for you. You need to, as we move into 23, realize that your dreams are significant. Now, Joseph, the names that people are given are significant. Joseph, the father of Jesus, how did he find out about Jesus? Through a dream. Who was the other dreamer in the Bible? He was called Joseph as well. So there is an importance in your names that you need to take note of. Find out what your name means, because you have been given that name by no accident. You may have thought your father and your mother were the worst in the world, but they named you, and that name carries. There is a significance in your name. Go find what it is for you. So dreams are significant. Angel encounters will be significant in this next season. You know, when Jesus was tempted up the mountain by Satan, and a 40-day period after that finished, after he got through that and had won victorious, it says that the Lord sent angels to come and minister to him, to refresh him and replenish him. There are so many stories of the angels of the Lord coming to visit us humans here in the world. And we need to expect, we need to be open. We don't go worshiping them, but they are messengers sent to deliver the word of the Lord from the throne room. And we know that the spirit that lives within us can do that as well. But we got to be open to the fact that angels, because the Bible says that we can entertain angels unaware. So that means that somebody you meet down the street, or somebody that you just have a word with in a coffee shop, how do you know that that person actually lives, or how do you know that that person that's in front of you isn't an angel of the Lord sent to stir up the supernatural within you? So keep your eyes open, keep your antennae open, because in 23, we're going to see an increase of the things of the Lord around our lives. We're going to see increases of encounters with Jesus, where the Spirit of Jesus that's in you is going to be like John the Baptist leaping inside of you, like you had a womb. Even guys, if you had a womb, you'd be leaping inside thinking, something's happening. I need to watch. Something's going on. I'm sensing something. The Spirit of the living God is on me. It's in me, and it's about to move. There's something shifting. There's something happening, and I'm now alert to it because I feel this bubbling of the Holy Spirit. I feel the quickening of the Holy Spirit in my spirit. God is up to something. God, what is it? You need to ask him, what am I encountering, Lord? What is it you're trying to show me? Lord, let your servant hear. Let me see, Lord, what it is in this season that you're bringing and stirring up around me, so that I don't miss a thing, Lord. I don't see any of it passing me by, but I want to be the person that sees you as you walk towards the boat and about to go by, and I can call out and say, Jesus, come near to me. And so that you begin to walk and flow in the things of the Spirit so much easier in this next season. Your name releases your destiny. The other thing I think we're going to see an increase in, and we have been over this past few years, is words of knowledge. Words of knowledge, like when Mary was told by the angel, your cousin Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant with her child. Now, Mary would have been shocked at that because Mary had only known Elizabeth as an older cousin who had been barren from the day that she got married. They never were able to have kids. But the angel of the Lord made Mary aware that this cousin of yours is actually now pregnant. Not just pregnant, but she is 6 months gone. So that stirring of revelation with such accuracy is coming and increasing around us as believers. And we're going to see this next year as we move in. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to actually take us forward, to lead us into newness and freshness. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the Spirit of the Lord is on you, is in you, but it'll come upon you as well as we move into 23. There will be awakenings and shiftings that happen around your spiritual environment, around the people that you connect with every day, that you're going to see and encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Living One, the King, and you will behold your King. And the more you behold your King, the more these will happen. More supernatural encounters will take place. And the more you will be able to operate with Jesus in the Spirit to actually change people's lives, to bring the word of the Lord in season and to actually encounter people so that out of your encounter, they get to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, that they get to say, I want to know this person. This, when I'm around you, I feel excited. I feel there's something shifting. You've got something I haven't got and I want it. What is it? And so we will be able to lead people into relationship with Jesus Christ in 2023 because it's what we're called to do. How better to destroy the works of the enemy than to take one from his camp at the minute and allow them to walk with you across the line into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who what has only good things in store for them like he has for us. So why let them stay in the darkness? We're called, the light is called to shine upon the people in the dark, so that they get to see the light of the King of Kings. And we're the ones that actually help transfer that in. Because like Mary, when she encountered Elizabeth, what she carried inside of her ignited something inside of Elizabeth. And we have to realize that the Spirit of the Living God dwells in us for a reason, that we are called to actually impact and infiltrate and to change the circumstances on the people we encounter, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. He that's in the world is losing and will continue to lose, even though he stirs it up and wants to strike out against us. The Lord has won the battle already. He is the faithful one, and we are his children. And as a father, he will not let us be plucked out of his hand. So don't listen to anybody that tries to tell you that the devil can get you. When you're in the palm of the Lord Jesus, the palm of God, nothing can get to you. You're washed in the blood of Christ. You're secure under that. And so you take that and you know that in your spirit, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So we bless you today as we move out of this the final service for Father's House. It's been great to have you with us today. And we love you, and we look forward to connecting with you again in the new year, 2023. Get excited already. Take this next couple of weeks as an opportunity to get down before the Lord, to behold your King in your quiet room, to get intimate with him, to begin to cry out to him, say, Lord, I don't really know what they're talking about, but I'm hungry, and something inside of me starts leaping when they talk about this stuff, and so I know there's something in it. So teach me, Lord. Call him. Teach me, Lord. Call out to him and say, I don't know this yet, Lord. So, but I know it does something into my spirit. So I'm asking you today, Lord, teach me your ways and let me find you in the secret place. Let me hear your voice. Cause you said, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. So we take that scripture, that word of the Lord God Almighty, that does not lie. And we say, Lord, come. Come, overtake us, overwhelm us as we leave 2022 and move into 2023. May God bless you. May God keep you. And may God look over you and may his eyes be always upon you as we transition these years as we go forward and grow together as the kingdom of the Lord God Almighty. May you know the blessing and the favor of the Lord upon your life, and may all the things that you think are around you to do you harm, that they get washed away, that they get removed from your life, and that the Lord has preeminence over you and your future, because he has a plan and a purpose for you. So I pray over you today that you find his plans, his purposes, and that his light would shine and radiate like never before out from inside of you, that spirit that he has blessed you with comes alive, comes to vibrate within you, and that you get filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. And by overflowing, we mean releasing what you've got, giving it away for free. So we bless you in Jesus' name today. Be blessed as you leave this year, and be definitely blessed and anointed and equipped as you move into 2023. God bless.